This is Knowing Christ Radio with Dr. Rich Burkle, and we're so glad you've joined us today. We encourage you to join us each weekend as Rich helps us drill deeper with his expository teaching of Scripture. We pray that you'll be encouraged and challenged by today's message.
When Jesus appears, here's what's going to happen. First, the truth is going to still be here. There's going to still be faithful people. And secondly, the truth will absolutely prevail. On that moment, all false teaching dies. The Savior sees that it dies, and it has no future. It has no future presence.
Listen as Rich introduces the second part of a message titled Genuine Truth.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. Today we have the joy of opening up our Bibles to 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And in this passage, we are urged to test the spirits to see whether they're from God. He says the reason we need to test the spirits whenever we hear messages, ideas about life, ideas about God, he says, because many false teachers have gone out into the world. In other words, false teaching is everywhere. And I believe it's really, really vital that God's church and the members of Christ's church learn discernment, grow in discernment by having their minds and senses trained according to God's word by God's Spirit. And what a joy it is to have churches that proclaim the gospel. If you're in one of those churches, praise God first, and then let your leaders know how thankful you are for a church that teaches the truth. We need encouragement. Let's encourage one another to walk in the truth, to test the spirits, that we might hold on to the truth and not believe lies.
So what do we do when we discover a false teacher? Well, the New Testament tells us that first we confirm that they are false teaching on the basis of the word. Then we reject their teaching. Then we go to them and warn them about their teaching. And if they don't listen to that warning, we avoid them. We don't let them into the community to teach. Well, why would a follower of Jesus listen to false prophets? And the answer is because they don't know that the teacher is a false prophet. They're deceived. They think the teacher is actually a prophet from God. So how do we measure? Well, I'm glad you asked. John answers the question for us now in verses 2 and following. He gives two measures. And the first thing he says is, use God's standard to discern truth from error. You know, man often uses his own measures to determine whether something is true or whether something is false. We ask the questions, well, does this teaching help me? Does this teaching make sense to me? Does this teaching comfort me? Does this teaching positively impact my life or impact other people? Does this teaching grow a ministry? Does this teaching feel powerful? Does this teaching have miracles and wonders involved? Does this teaching seem sincere and trustworthy? The problem with all those questions is that we become the measure, and we can't trust ourselves. We don't have inside of ourselves a standard that is reliable to discern. We must trust God alone. God's measure always has us open up his book. Does this teaching line up with the prophets and the apostles' teaching in the Old and the New Testament? Does this teaching accurately glorify Jesus as the Messiah? Does it lift Jesus up as preeminent, as exalted? Does this teaching point me to Christ as God, as Lord, as Savior? And does it call out my own sinfulness, about my need to repent? Does it offend me? Now, there are some appropriate differences in doctrines among God's people. But these superficial differences are not to be a cause of division. What John is talking about is essential, central, fundamental differences between a teacher who's from God and a teacher who has a spirit of error. Well, how do we measure? He gives two measures, John does. The first measure is that we're looking for a teacher to make a genuine confession that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. Let's read verse 2 and 3 together. By this, I'll circle that. He says, by this is the measure, this is the standard. You know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. Notice that this measure is confessional. It's confessional about a truth, about what they believe, what they adhere to, what they're passionate about. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you heard was coming and is now already in the world. Here is the measuring tape. we measure a teacher by their confession regarding Jesus Christ. What is the person's confession regarding Jesus? Now notice too, he used the word confess. He doesn't use the word affirm. This is much more than an affirmation from a teacher. It's much more than a raised hand, yeah, I agree to that, or a nod of the head. It's a passionate confession. This is central to this person's teaching. And this teaching about God here is about Jesus is threefold. First, he says this person confesses that Jesus is our pre-existent God, a very God. A teacher from God confesses that Jesus is uniquely from God. He was from the beginning with God. He was in the beginning. He was God. Nothing is made that has been made apart from him. That's how John opens his gospel. One commentator writes, John is not just speaking casually when he says Jesus has come. Rather, he is emphasizing that Jesus came from another realm. That's the point, that Jesus came from heaven. He's the only human being to have done that. Rather, he has entered our world by interrupting human history. Jesus is our pre-existent God. Let's test teachers by this standard, by this measure, by this confession. Secondly, Jesus is fully man and he is fully God. A teacher from God confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh. His human name is Jesus, a name given him by his earthly parents. He is the person, Jesus, who was born as an infant of the Virgin Mary. He is God, a very God, and yet he is fully human. He is the person who is most unique, co-equal, co-eternal with God, and yet fully human. John writes about this in his gospel. He said, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Any spirit denying that Jesus is both God and man is the spirit of the Antichrist, John would say. And the third essential truth about Jesus, not only is he preexistent as God, not only is he fully man and fully God, but Jesus made an atoning sacrifice for our sin on the cross. A teacher confesses Jesus, confesses him as the Christ, as the Messiah. He is the one who fulfilled the words of Isaiah the prophet in Isaiah 53. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him, the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed. All we like sheep, we've turned away, every one to his own way. And the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of Saul. That's all wrapped up in this word Christ, Messiah. This is what Messiah does. He bears our sin upon himself and bears our sin away from us. Now, in the early church that John is addressing, there are some false teachers that are already arisen. They're already present inside this community. They're teaching that Jesus didn't really come as fully man, that his humanity came on him at his baptism and left him right before he died upon the cross. They also taught that salvation was not through his atoning work, but it was through receiving some new knowledge and knowledge that they had, secret knowledge, and if they had some experiences with God, then they could connect to God in a real living way. So Jesus was not central as the person that mediates a relationship between us and God. They also denied that sin was sin, and so they made new rules for themselves. And they insisted that while the apostles' teaching was good, it was not sufficient, that they had some higher knowledge, and this higher teaching would also help the people with a deeper, more wonderful relationship with the living God. All of these things are part of a teaching that seemed to be present in John's time. Error can go at 1,000,000,000, almost an infinite number of angles, but here's the test. Does this person's teaching make Jesus the center of everything? Does it rejoice that Jesus is God come in the flesh? Does it place one's total hope upon the cross of Jesus, where Jesus bore our sin, that he bore the punishment that was due us? Does Jesus have the center of the person's doctrine? False teaching diminishes Jesus and his work. False teaching, while it even may affirm some of the doctrinal statements about Jesus, it fails to confess Jesus as the Christ who has come in the flesh, the Son of the living God. And here again, True teachers always confess with passion, with zeal, with joy, Jesus as the Messiah, Son of the living God, who was born of a virgin, come in the flesh to die in our place. John, in his second letter, reverts back to this very emphasis. He says in 2 John 7, "For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ, Jesus the Messiah in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the Antichrist." I want to encourage you before we move on from here to watch two specific videos. I don't give commercials very often, but I want to encourage you in this way. There are two videos that have been recently produced in the last couple of years that are so helpful for discernment. Both are called The American Gospel. They're about 2 hours long. One of them is available free on YouTube for at least 1 hour of it. But The American Gospel, Christ Crucified, and The American Gospel, Christ Alone. The American Gospel, Christ Alone, confronts the prosperity gospel that says Jesus really came to help us have the best life right now, health and wealth. The American Gospel, Christ Crucified, confronts the progressive gospel, a kind of gospel that diminishes the Jesus of the New Testament, diminishes his atoning work on the cross. Really want to encourage you as you test the spirits to use some of the tools and some of the resources that God has provided us in this day. Now that's the first measure. The second measure John is going to tell us to use to test the spirits is, again, first a genuine confession that Jesus is the Messiah and he's come in the flesh. And the second is a humble heart that listens to apostolic teaching. Look at verses 5 and 6. "They are from the world." He's speaking of these false teachers. "Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them." He goes on to say, "But we are from God. Whoever knows God listens to us. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. And by this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error." Again, by the standard of those who listen to us are from God, those who don't listen to us are from God. Now notice the change in pronoun. He has been using the pronoun you in reference to the beloved all the way up to this point here in verses 5 and 6. And now he changes it to we and to us. The you is a reference to all the followers of Christ who are reading the letter. The we and the us refers to himself and to other apostles. Later in the chapter, the we and the us, he includes those who follow the apostles, who align with the apostles. But here, when he says, "Whoever knows God listens to us," he's speaking of himself as an apostle. You remember how John opened up this great letter? Turn back there in John chapter 1. He says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard," he's speaking about himself and the other apostles, "which we have seen with our own eyes, which we looked upon, have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testify to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us." And again, he's starting with the doctrine of Jesus. "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you." Do you notice the two pronouns? "So that you too may have fellowship with us," with the apostles. "And indeed our fellowship," the apostles' fellowship, "is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be made complete." So John here in 1 John 4 says, by this is the measure to test the spirits. What do they do with the apostles' teaching? Do they feel free to introduce new doctrines that the apostles didn't talk about at all, new practices for worship, new ideas, new experiences the apostles had no part in, or do they align themselves with the apostles, with their doctrine, with their teaching, with the truth that God revealed to us through them? So those are the two tests. Test the spirits, friends. Test the teachers. Do they confess Jesus? Is Jesus center or is Jesus diminished? Diminished in the face of other experiences, diminished in the face of other doctrines, of other ideas, other people. And then does this teacher align himself with the word of God, with the apostles' teaching that we have delivered to us through Scripture? Well, you might be saying, well, I want to test the spirits and I want to help the church really grow strong in discernment so that we would not come under the threat of false teaching. What can I do? Well, let me give you a couple practical steps here that you might take. First, I would say rejoice in listening to the apostles' teaching together with your local church. I don't think this call to test the Spirit is sort of isolated, that just every individual is on their own. But I think John is emphasizing the togetherness of us as brothers and sisters throughout this letter, that we have the opportunity to talk with other brothers and sisters, to open up our Bibles around the apostles' teaching, to listen to teaching and discern whether or not that teaching is from God. It's right for us to do that together, to talk about the Word together as we hear various teachers who claim to represent God, who claim to represent Jesus. Rejoice in listening to the apostles' teaching together. There's a real importance to listening together to the Word of God. Secondly, pray for your elders and your pastors who are given the greater responsibility to teach the Word, to warn against false doctrine. Without the teaching of sound doctrine, there is no protection for us against false doctrine. So pray for us, won't you? Pray that we would remain aligned to the apostles' teaching. Third, I would say love the teaching of sound doctrine. Churches become what the congregation loves. Churches become what the congregation demands. Congregations that take an interest in doctrine will be strong in doctrine, will be strong against this kind of threat. But churches that are full of people say, hey, just give me the practical stuff. Don't bore me with all that doctrine. Just tell me how to live. Just tell me the stuff that's important to me right now. Those are churches that are so susceptible to this kind of danger. Fourth, examine the Scriptures to see if what you're being taught is true. Be like the Bereans. And fifth, the last thing, practical step, I'd say, be prepared to be ridiculed by worldly people, many of whom are in the church. Now, there are some really, really nice people who hate what the apostles taught. And if the church teaches what the apostles taught, then those folks are going to hate that particular church too. Now, hey, when someone condemns us or when someone criticizes what we teach, it's right for us to say, well, let's examine this again. Maybe we're not teaching the truth. We want to go back to the Word to reroot ourselves in our teaching. It's right to humbly listen, reflect upon criticism, back upon the Word. But, and here's John's point. We must not use the measure of other opinions to discern whether what we're teaching is true. We must not reorient our teaching to the ears of people who are of the world, John says. He says that they are from the world, therefore they speak from the world. He's speaking to these false teachers, and the world listens to them. So let's be prepared to be ridiculed by worldly people. Now, the last thing I want to share with you is a great encouragement in verse 4, and that's a promise. We will overcome false teaching through the work of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 4. Little children, I love that he's back to that affectionate way of referring to us as readers. You are from God and have overcome them. Overcome who? Overcome false teachers and their false teaching. For he who is in you, who is that? That's the Spirit who dwells in us, is greater than he who is in the world. That are these spirits that are spirits of error, spirits from the devil. When I listen to Christian messages and read a number of modern Christian books and observe teachers that so many people flock to and love and enjoy, frankly, it's tempting to be very discouraged, because as I listen to many messages and as I read a number of books and as I watch the kinds of teachers that people flock to, I get discouraged. I hear and I test the spirits, and I often see that those teachers are not in alignment with this confession of Jesus, centrality upon him, with this alignment with the apostles' doctrine, the apostles' teaching. And it's tempting to get discouraged, say, will the truth of God survive this war? John answers that question so we won't get discouraged, and the answer is yes. Yes, absolutely yes, that God's not going to let his truth disappear from the world. Little children, you are from God, and you've overcome them. The idea is you've been given victory over false teaching. he says, know that the Holy Spirit is at work, though all the world be against you in this. Hold on to the apostles' doctrine, because in the end, when Jesus appears, and he's already talked about Jesus appearing in the first part of chapter 3. When Jesus appears, here's what's going to happen. First, the truth is going to still be here. There's going to still be faithful people. And secondly, the truth will absolutely prevail. On that moment, all false teaching dies. The Savior sees that it dies, and it has no future. It has no future presence. Well, what a day that will be. Only truth will stand on that day, because Jesus will be present. And Jesus is the one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me ask you, are you among those who listen to the apostles' teaching about Jesus? Perhaps you say, I don't know if I trust the New Testament. I don't know if I trust that book to tell me what's right about God, what's right about Jesus, what's right about salvation, what's right about my life. There's too many things in the New Testament, perhaps, you think, that are hard to accept. Well, if you find it difficult to listen, receive good news from God, there's a reason for that. And John says it's because you're still of the world. You don't receive the things of God's Spirit because you're still not of God's family. And you're locked into a life that is connected to a world that's passing away. Can't you see that this world is passing away? This present pandemic, an illustration of this world passing away. Everything in this world passes away. Only Jesus can connect you to eternity. Only Jesus can connect you to light so you can see clearly who God is, what God's about, what life's about. Only Jesus can connect you to life itself, to forgiveness of sins. And in the midst of this, if you have a longing to have life through Christ, if you have a longing to have light to walk with, go to the Lord and tell him. Say, Lord, I don't want to be of this world anymore. I recognize this world is passing away. I have struggles believing everything's in the book, but I want to be your child. Open my blind eyes to see the glory of Jesus Christ, to see that he really is the Son of the living God, that he's the Messiah, and open my heart to believe in him personally as Savior and Lord. I need you. If you call out upon God with that kind of prayer, with that kind of longing, God will hear you. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so I would encourage you, just place yourself before Jesus and say, Jesus, I need life, and I need you to open up my heart, open up my eyes to see. I want to believe that you are the Christ. And as you pray that, I believe that God will grant you faith and then call out and say, I believe, I believe. Well, what a miracle God performs in the heart and life of everyone who believes in the name of Jesus.
Thanks for listening today. Rich will wrap up the message in a moment. Won't you consider listening each week to this broadcast? Invite your friends to listen also. Now, here's Rich.
Thank you for joining us at Knowing Christ. We pray that we are encouragement to you, encouragement in your walk with Christ, encouragement in your relationship with your own local church. We believe that God is most glorified when his people focus first on Jesus, but then also connect to their own local church in a real committed way where every member is a part of strengthening that local church for the glory of God, strengthening its truth that it preaches, strengthening its mission and ministry to one another as well as to the world around it. And so I just want to encourage you today, as you have a pastor who proclaims the truth to you week by week, that's a hard labor. I want you to encourage you to connect with him, to maybe write a note or give him a call or say, I just want to thank you, Pastor, for preaching the truth. And tell him some specific way that God has used him to benefit you in this relationship to the truth of the gospel. That'll be just a great uplift to his soul, and I believe it'll be encouragement to you. Let's be encouraged, and let's encourage one another.
If you'd like to hear this message again, go to our website and listen or download a copy for free. And if you've been blessed by this ministry, would you please communicate with us? It's such a blessing when we hear what God is doing through this broadcast. Go to knowingchrist.org. That's knowingchrist.org, and select the Contact Us tab. We look forward to your feedback, and please let us know what station you're listening to. Knowing Christ is the broadcast ministry of Dr. Rich Burkle and Bethany Baptist Church.